Wanted to honor those who have served for us in the various battles, even back through history, names who may have been forgotten. And so what I'd like to do is just have a little prayer time and thank the Lord for the sacrifice of those who have done so in military battle. If I understand correctly, Memorial Day is for those who have died in battle. And so what I'd like to do is I'll just be quiet here as we're praying. If you know of a name, or maybe there's a particular battle or war that you want to remember, I'll just ask you to just say that out loud. And we ask the Lord to remember to bring them to memory and to bless their families as well. So I'll be quiet and then I'll pray as well. So if there's a name or a part of history you want us to remember, please say that out loud now.
His brother, in World War II.
Yes.
And our very close friend, Dale, that we lost in Vietnam.
Lord God, so many people, both men and women who have given their lives in battles, in wars. And we look forward to the day when all wars will end and all the tears will be wiped away. It wasn't supposed to be like this. But Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the sacrifice, and we solemnly remember them today. Even going back to the French-Indian Wars and the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, other battles and skirmishes, Lord, our own Civil War, and of course the World War I, World War II, and Korea, and Vietnam, and Iraq, and Iran, and other places, even now as men and women are deployed around the world. God, we thank you for their sacrifice. And Lord, we want to honor it, not just by words today, not just by the posting of flags, but Lord, we would use the freedom we have to spread your word and your gospel now. Those days may indeed be coming to an end. So we want to be good stewards of the opportunity that we have here in our country. And we thank you for them and pray that you would comfort those who are still remembering those who are lost. In your name, amen. Thank you. We are taking, we're kind of in between series today. We just finished Zechariah. And next week we will start Hebrews chapter 11. And with some of the heroes of the faith, and looking forward to that. But if you've been with us this year, you know we've taken little breaks to do some of the feast and the offerings of the Old Testament. And today we'll do what's called the Feast of Weeks, or in the New Testament, it's the same feast, but it's also called Pentecost. And so we'll get to that. But I don't know if you know this, and maybe shared this before, but I've struggled with dental issues most of my life. Now, to this day, I am super strict on my dental hygiene. I mean, if my dentist said stand on your head for an hour a day, I'd do it. But I'm really good now, and it's gotten a lot healthier, but I still, from all those years when I did not do that, I've suffered from it. Some of it's a bit genetic, but I was, I had one tooth. It was a back middle molar there that was essentially a dead tooth. It had a root canal, but it, broke off right at the gum line. But since it didn't have a nerve, it didn't hurt. It was just there. And my dentist said, oh, you could just leave it there or do something. I don't know. And I said, well, if I don't need to do anything about it now, I won't, because I knew it'd be a big deal. Insurance has changed. I had changed dentists, and the next dentist said, we got to do something with this. You've lost all that biting surface and everything. All right. But I didn't want to, because it means they had to pull. How are they going to pull that out? I mean, how are they going to get it? And then I found out that I'm not able to have an implant, you know, those where they put them through your bones. My bones are not dense enough or something. I thought, I always thought I was kind of dense, but maybe not. And so they did something. I mean, it's something even I remember my dad had called a bridge. And so you essentially have to get a crown on the tooth before and after the bad tooth, the space, and then they bridge it. It's called a bridge. They bridge that with porcelain and so forth. So that's what I have here now. But it's like, that's like getting two crowns at once. Oh my goodness. And get the tooth out. And I'm just like, I don't want to do that. But it's like, it looks like I got to do that. I love my bridge. I mean, I was shocked of how much it helped just with chewing and so forth. It's been healthy. Every time they go there, they say, wow, we did a good job on that. It's like, yeah, I know. I love that. And it's just nice to have that health back again within just a small piece of our bodies can be such a big deal. Because see, what it meant is that for a few dental appointments, there'd be loss, there would be pain. But afterwards, there would be great gain. We're going to see that today in this feast. Now, I'm going to read to you from Leviticus 23. And remember, this is law. So this reads like law. Do you ever read an actual law? It's like, what are they saying? It's kind of the same way. It's the same kind of literature. But remember, we're not required to celebrate any of these feasts. However, there are principles, there are things about Jesus, and in this case, there's a lot about the Holy Spirit in this feast. And so let's look at it. The Feast of Weeks, or also Pentecost, it's called. Leviticus 23, I'll just read 15 to 22. You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. So someone's keeping track of all this, right? Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord, to Yahweh. You shall bring from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread to be waved, made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. And you shall present with the 7 lambs, a year old without blemish, and 1 bull from the herd, and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord with grain offering and the drink offerings, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And you shall offer 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 male lambs a year old as a sacrifice of peace offerings. Many of these, by the way, were not per family, but as a nation. Okay. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall make a proclamation on the same day. You shall hold a holy convocation. It's a national party, an assembly. And you shall not do any ordinary work. This is a statute forever in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. Last verse, verse 22, and you shall reap the harvest in your land, and you shall not reap the field right up to its edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. Okay, let's explain all this. As I said, this is also called Pentecost. It is when the Old Testament was translated into Greek. You might read that sometime. That's called the Septuagint. And so it was one of the first translations of the Bible, and it translated this feast into the word Pentecost. Penta means 50, and cost is feast, I believe. It's also called referred to as the Feast of Harvest. If you've ever read the book of Ruth, there's a feast going on there. This is the feast they're talking about. And that's why when it talks about gleaning the fields and Ruth is out gleaning, it's regarding that as well. This theologian says it's a joy. Tyndale says it's a joyous occasion. It's a day of rest and assembly. He also said the feast reminded the Israelites that of God's care and control. That God's care and control reached into every area of life, making no false distinction between material and spiritual blessings. It's the first 50 days after the particular Sabbath. And then over time, it started to morph a little bit to where they remembered the Old Testament law. God gave through Moses the Old Testament law. Some of the very words we just read, Genesis through Deuteronomy, is considered or called the law. And it's one of the divisions of the Old Testament. And so it became known for that. Now, this offering is a little bit different than some of the other offerings, like the sin offering and so forth, or the atonement. They were to burn those offerings till they were gone, just completely gone. This one, it says they were waved before the Lord. So it's like, you know, buy offering? No, it means they waved it. So here, Lord, here is the offering. Now, people sacrificed, especially the loaves. So people gave them. So it was still a sacrifice, but the animals and the loaves were then given to the priest and their families, and they were allowed to eat of this. It was kind of part of their wage. So they didn't burn it all up. It was cooked, but they were able to eat that, offered as to the priest. So it was symbolically offered. They had an attitude of thanksgiving. Again, it's a remembrance of everything that God has given them because they're coming off another harvest here. We saw before the first fruits, and we'll get into it again in just a little bit, where the harvest is just starting. Well, this is where the harvest is ending. And so now they are remembering God and his provision for them. It's also an attitude to recognize their sin, to be thankful for his grace and his forgiveness as well. And that they have peace with God, they are cleansed and they are forgiven. There's also, in that last verse I read, was a reference to taking care of the poor and the idea of gleaning. And what they were told to do is, if someone had a field that they were harvesting, they were supposed to leave the outer part, the outer edges, and the corners. So essentially, you think of a square field, kind of make a circle within your square field, and leave the rest. Now, in our harvesting today, boy, when they go through with the combines, pretty much everything's gone, right? Well, if you remember, they're harvesting by hand. They're harvesting with animals. So they're, you know, using a sickle, and, you know, there's going to be some that's left. And God said, leave that. Leave that for the poor so they can come through later and pick what is remaining, especially on the corners and the edges. When we were in Bible college, there was a group that was called Gleaning, and they would call us and say, okay, we got broccoli, and we would go and come back with pounds and pounds of broccoli, right, that we had to freeze, or watermelons or whatever, and it was kind of, we do this today. You see it a lot with food service things where a store might be tossing something or they had too much. And so they called it gleaning for that same kind of thing. So you think, okay, great. All right, so we don't do this anymore, right? I mean, yeah. But let's look at this with our kind of our New Testament glasses. What does this mean? When Moses came down, and this is kind of a coincidence, when Moses came down with the law, he'd been gone a while. Do you remember what was going on? It was the golden calf rebellion. You don't know what happened to Moses. Where's Moses? Where is he? Aaron? Aaron's Moses' brother. Where is this guy? We don't know what's happened to him. You know what? Let's make our own God. Aaron exhibits very poor leadership. And he's actually also a goldsmith. And so when Moses said, what happened? What did they do to you to make you do this, Aaron? He goes, well, Moses. This is, by the way, the worst excuse found in the Bible. Moses, we put all this gold in the fire and this calf just popped right out. Okay. Hey, it was, folks, it was a bad day. I mean, we're kind of joking about it now, but there is, God was furious with them. He had just brought them out, coming down with the law, and now they're breaking the law before they even read it and so forth, but they knew they weren't supposed to be practicing idolatry. 3,000 people died the day the Old Testament law was given. Fast forward to Acts chapter 2. Same feast we're talking about here, Day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were added. Little factoid, little coincidence, that with a new covenant alive in their hearts, 3,000 were saved. Acts 2 marks what most people feel is the birth of the church. The Holy Spirit came upon the assembly. They were, and by the way, they had been up together, not just the 12 apostles, but a large group of people, men and women. Jesus' brothers were there. Mary was there. And just all the people who were still followers of Jesus from the resurrection after he had ascended up to the Lord, they were told to wait. And they're waiting and they're praying together. And then all of a sudden, on the day of Pentecost, there's this great rushing wind. And the scripture says they received what looked like tongues of fire coming upon people. Now, I know later you might be thinking, is that the tongues Paul talks about in Corinthians and so forth? It's not the same thing. That's a different issue. This is actually the ability to learn other language. It's very clear. You could read through Acts 2. But remember when we talked about Zechariah, remember how they were scattered across the earth? Well, not everyone came back. They were still scattered over all the earth. And so that people had settled in these other countries and other lands. So they learned the other languages. They learned Latin. They learned Greek. They learned maybe Indian. They learned Spanish. I mean, just all over. And it's why we see Jewish communities, again, still all over the world. They were scattered at that point. Well, they're coming to Jerusalem for this feast. But they now have a new language. They've lived for generations in these countries. They may not even speak Hebrew anymore. But they knew their home language. Well, now this person, that person, they could speak, they could translate Peter's message into their own language. This is, how are we hearing them speak? That's what these tongues of fire were. It was quite an amazing thing. Wouldn't it be nice to where God just says, okay, boom, you could speak Chinese, you could speak Spanish, you could... That would be neat, but that was a special one-time moment thing for them. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and Peter preached, and boy, did he preach. What a dynamic, amazing message. And he identifies this experience. He says, guys, this is predicted. Joel, the prophet Joel, talked about this, about the coming of the Holy Spirit to us. He preached Jesus, who he is, and what he did. Again, the sermon's there. It's in Acts chapter 2. And he says, and then as God provided the harvest year to year, he also provided Jesus to defeat death for us and the forgiveness of sins. The Feast of Weeks was a time of celebration. Pentecost was celebration. The work of God through Jesus is the reason for it. And by the way, the poor were also taken care of. And you're reading through Acts chapter 2, there's a part where it says, and they shared everything together. Later in Acts 6, we see that they were feeding those who needed to be fed. When we talked about the first fruits, Jesus is clearly identified as the first fruit from the dead. But the Bible also calls the Holy Spirit a first fruit. Jesus said it was better that he leave and the Holy Spirit come. Remember my dental story? While I could still eat, just a momentary loss led to something better. Imagine you're a disciple, you're an apostle, or just one of the regular followers of Jesus. And he says, it's to your advantage that I go. Now, if you heard that, you wouldn't call Jesus a liar to his face. You wouldn't do that. But it wouldn't make sense. It's like, Jesus, what's better than you? What could be better than you walking on the earth? In fact, sometimes I heard people say, oh, it'd be so neat to go back in time and walk along with Jesus. And it would be. But he said, you're arguing with me. Don't argue with me. Jesus himself said it. It's to your advantage, he told them, that I leave. The Bible has some things to say about the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:23, and not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of the sons, the redemption of our bodies. The Holy Spirit is our first fruit. We groan inwardly with him. He's adopted us as his sons and daughters. And he's bringing about that change in us, in our bodies, to redeem them. 1 Corinthians 1, in him also, him being Jesus, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee. And other translations say he's a down payment. What's a down payment? We do down payments, right? You put a down payment on a house, maybe a car, something else of value. It's a small portion of something greater. God says, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit as a down payment. What does that tell you about what's ahead? If that's just a down payment, that's the promise, is the Holy Spirit himself, part of the Trinity. The theologian Byrd said, if the Old Testament Pentecost was an annual celebration of the giving of the first covenant, then the New Testament Pentecost is an annual celebration of the giving of the new covenant, the first fruit. When we talked about the celebration of the first fruit, there were two kinds of grain. One was barley. That was considered to be kind of the, I guess we would say, the scrub grain. It wasn't as high quality. Now, probably getting a barley loaf today would probably be more expensive, but that's funny how things change. But it was the less valuable grain, a little rougher, maybe a little rougher bread. And I don't know if it's significance, but remember the boy who had the fish and the loaves? They were barley loaves, maybe because he was poor and he was giving that offering to Jesus. But that's when they did first fruits. Well, now, 50 days later, they're now harvesting their wheat, a better grain, a finer grain. Back in Leviticus, as we read that long passage, it said made of fine flour, not of the barley flour, but of your wheat. Finer grain, better grain. That first fruit was kind of to whet their appetite for the next better grain to come along. We understand that physically, but there's a spiritual parallel here. Christ sacrificed the first fruit from the dead. That's like the barley harvest. Yeah, it's exciting. We're going to get our stock. We're going to trust God for more, and then we're getting this new bunch of grain. This one, the wheat, is the Holy Spirit. It's better, he said. The Holy Spirit is better than Jesus? Wait, aren't they both all infinite parts of the Godhead? Yes, of course they are. Wouldn't we fall down and on our faces if Jesus appeared? Of course we would. It's not disrespectful to Jesus at all. Remember, he said, it's to your advantage that I go. What does that tell us about the Holy Spirit and how Jesus viewed him? Pretty important. If you're talking two infinite beings, one can't logically be better than another if they're both infinite. Yeah, pop a few brain cells on that.
One's not more or better. They're both infinite. Can't measure them because that's the definition of infinite. But it's to our advantage. Why? Why is it better? Why wouldn't it be better to walk physically with Jesus? And while he was there, he's resurrected a physical body, and he also said he would be with us forever to the end of the age. But there's still a physicalness there. Holy Spirit resides in us. And he is the power, he is the comfort, he is the one from the that works in us inside out. You know, the New Testament law was written on our hearts, not on stones. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is better, is more to our advantage. Oh, it'd be so nice. I can't wait to see Jesus. This is the Holy Spirit's to our advantage. Now, what does this all mean for us? Just some other principles and things for us to remember and apply. First of all, we maintain a spirit of thanksgiving. This was a primary part of this particular feast, the Feast of Pentecost. Sometimes you hear that little rhyme, have an attitude of gratitude. You've heard that. How do we do that? Well, the other expression which we can remember is to preach the gospel to yourself daily. Remember the sacrifice of Christ for you daily. Preach it to other brothers and sisters. And we have to remember the Holy Spirit. Now, in church histories and in church doctrines and church fads, there's like this pendulum where people go to one extreme, back to another extreme. And this has happened regarding the Holy Spirit. And there was a group of believers that went like so Holy Spirit focused that, wow, they were nearly out of control. And they took it to an extreme, and many, many times we would say an unbiblical extreme, so they didn't even talk about Jesus. They didn't talk about the Father. It was Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Well, the reason why we have the Holy Spirit is because of the Father and Jesus. And many people looked at him and said, man, they're nuts. They're crazy. What's going on? They're just going crazy. And so the pendulum swung the other way among many more conservative groups and churches and so forth to the other extreme that's also wrong, to where they ignore the Holy Spirit. We've been in situations where we called upon a particular church group just to pray and worship together, just to seek God's face for a day, to pray and fast. And there was this one gentleman who would come. By the way, we were praying and we were reading our Bibles and singing songs. And I think that's okay. But he was one of these extreme no Holy Spirit people. He wanted to make sure we weren't going to start frothing at the mouth and rolling on the floor. This one guy would stay, like a room this big, would stay way in the back. And I said, I came to him later, I said, why don't you join us? No. And then I said, why don't you leave? And he said, no. He's making sure, boy, they don't start doing that weird Holy Spirit stuff. Folks, somewhere in there, somewhere between those two incorrect extremes, is an appreciation for the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's not in your life, you're missing out. If he's the sole focus, you're missing out. Rely on him. The Holy Spirit gives us insight. You know, when you open the Word of God or you hear someone say something or a message or something and it touches your heart, maybe it can, what we say, conviction. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a living, breathing. He's not the Star Wars force. So he's a person. He gives us insight. He transforms us. When those sins, those things that we keep stumbling over, then cry out to the Holy Spirit. Do you know you can pray? It's biblical to pray to the Holy Spirit. There's times in the New Testament, Paul mentioned him. He won't hurt you. He is a great blessing and advantage to your life. As a believer in Christ, he lives in you. That's why we could say it's that now and not yet. Now we stand before the Lord, righteous and true and ready and prepared to be with Jesus forever in heaven. Amen. But we're also in process. And without the Holy Spirit, God doesn't say when we get into Galatians later this fall, boy, he doesn't say, well, you're saved by grace, now grow by works. No, 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 no. We grow by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember him. Do not be afraid of him. What if he asked me to do something weird? Then be weird. What if it's something that is like really stretching my faith? Trust him. What if I fail? You fail. Be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey and do what he says. It might be tough. It might be a battle. Be willing to let him upset your apple carts and see what he does. It's like that dental thing again. It might be a little painful, but then later you look back and you go, wow. Well, I'll tell you, I was nervous sharing things about the Lord with my family because a prophet doesn't have honor in their home, you know. But I was expressing throughout the week, God just kept bringing these things up to me hey, say this, say that. And I did. And some of my unbelieving family said, wow, that makes a lot of sense. And while it was a little risky, Holy Spirit was there. Don't be afraid of him. Finally, let's celebrate. While we're not required to do these feasts and we're not gonna bring a bunch of goats and rams and have a slaughter them in the parking lot or anything. But we're free as believers to have celebratory free feasts to the Lord. Especially among families, among kids and grandkids, say, hey, we're gonna specifically remember the Lord, offer a special dinner to the Lord as a family. But also this other little side issue that has come up both in the Old and New Testament. Remember the poor. Remember the poor. Perhaps there's someone on your heart and mind where you can send them a gift card, and maybe even anonymously if you'd like to do that. We still need to do that. Isn't that a great feast? Something better, or really in the New Testament case, someone better is available. Just like barley is not as good as wheat. Do you want hamburger or filet mignon? One's better. And don't send me nasty notes about I'm just being disrespectful to Jesus. Remember, he said it. John chapter 16. He said it is better, the Holy Spirit, better for us. Let's put it that way. Let's spend some time in prayer. Maybe as a one-line prayer, you want to remember him and say, just Holy Spirit, I confess my unthankfulness for you in my life. Maybe you're one of those people who's been scared of him. I don't want to be like that. Here's a moment to confess that to him. Or perhaps there's something you want to reach out in faith and say, I pray for the Holy Spirit's power too. Fill in that blank. And remember, this is a thankfulness kind of feast. So you could say, Lord, thank you, Lord, for, and fill in that blank as well. Let's pray together out loud if you like.
God, Holy Spirit, I thank you that mm-hmm. you are a part of my life, that you are there to empower me. You are there to help me do what you've called me to do. The Lord Jesus did not expect me to do it in my own strength. Mm-hmm. But like salvation, you have provided everything I need. And so, God, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are working in my life.
Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit's power to move throughout this nation. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you for the process or the interaction with the Holy Spirit that you created that wonderful opportunity for us to be able to connect with God. Body's faith grows together. Let's not limit what your power and abilities are.
Mm-hmm.
Just have faith that ask you to do miraculous things and continue to believe in them. And we have no doubt that you will do those. It's your will to see people come to you, and we ask for that.
God, I pray that you would help my heart be quiet enough to hear your whispers.
Yes. Lord God, forgive your church as we just sometimes ride these pendulums back and forth and either forget or we overextend. But Holy Spirit, you indeed are marvelous and you live in us. How much better, how much it is to our advantage that you live in us rather than have a physical person. You are the presence of God that is promised to us. Just as real as it was in Acts 2. God, I do pray for Spirit's power, and even again as we pray for our local community here. Even again, Lord, just the other week hearing someone say, "Well, I'm a good person, I think God will accept me." Oh, Lord, it just keeps coming up. And it's such a stronghold. Lord, we pray for your power to break hold this stronghold of goodness and of works so that people will believe in the sacrifice of Jesus. Holy Spirit, your job is to point people to Jesus. And so we call upon you to work in our lives and our hearts that people's faith would not be in their own selves, but in indeed him, the one who died for us. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for for not leaving us alone, not leaving us as orphans, as Jesus said, but with your very presence. And we pray this in your name. Amen. If you want to read more about what Jesus said, I encourage you to pretty much John 13 through 17. There's various things there. It's the upper room. It's where he washes the disciples' feet. Not everything he says about the Holy Spirit, but he repeats a lot about his coming. So John 13 through 17 would be good verses to get an idea. That's where, again, you'll read about him being an advantage. As our worship team comes up, please listen to a few announcements. Living in Liberty is having their prayer meeting this Wednesday at 4:30 at Diamond Park. And so you're welcome to visit them there and be part of that prayer time. Lori, is there a carpool this week or are we just meeting there? Okay, so yeah, if there are others of you who want to meet here and then do that, that's fine. But it starts at 4:30 on... Okay. Is it paid parking? Do you have to pay?
I think it's free at that time.
Okay.
Bring a quarter or two.
Yeah. All right. Good. Thank you. Mentioned last week, we are in need of another person to help us with custodial care in this building. So if God's leading you there, you want to do that as a family, it's about twice a month where we could use some help regarding the
the bathroom. Like, for example, we don't have kids today, so you don't have to redo downstairs, just up here a little bit. So sometimes there's less to do than other days. We are going to have down the road, we're due for another one of our, kind of, I know spring's about gone, but just a good cleaning and all the, you know, outside, inside, that kind of stuff, weeding and so forth. So we'll get to that at some point. Budget. I've been asking you to pray for the elders as we look at our next budget. We have some minor changes in the budget itself. There are copies back there, and there's two different budgets. One is called the shared budget. That is, those are the expenses that all three Zion campuses share. For example, we have an administrative assistant. We all pay towards her salary. If you knew Missy is now retired. We now have Jen. And so Jen is at she works primarily in Clarion, but she does things for us too. Some of our main printing and all that she'll do, organization, things with our database. And our phones are forwarded right to Jen because no one's here. And that way, when someone calls us here, we get a real person to answer, which I like. So that's one of the things we share. Our bookkeeper, there's other things, other activities, things that we as all three churches, we share in. And so it's more economical. But this year, we've also made it more equitable. And so we've taken some of those shared expenses and brought them to individual campuses. Because maybe, you know, we're sharing an expense, but maybe one church wasn't even using that, but they were paying into it. So we've moved some of them to now what is our budget as a church, our church home here. And so you might see something new. It's like, wow, where's that coming from? It came from shared. But I will tell you, it's less than what we were paying before. Just the total numbers. If you have any questions, please talk to me. We also added one other item, an additional new expense, because I don't know about you, but I really love the Hearts for Haiti thing. And so we've added just $100 for the whole year, because if they go back again and let's say they need, I don't know, towels, that way we as a church, now we're certainly welcome to donate them, but the church itself can purchase a bunch of towels and do that. So that's a new one there as well. But please, any questions, ask. The vote's going to be at the end of June. Please, if you got a question and you come to me 5 minutes before the vote, I could hopefully answer your question, but we won't have time to change anything or reevaluate. Please tell me about that earlier rather than later. And covenant members will be invited to approve of that our last Sunday in June. So there it is. There's, again, the shared copy, which I think is in yellow, and then the purple copy is our individual campus budget. It's two-sided. All right? So there it is. Also, just heard today, we normally wouldn't promote these things just out of relevance, but there's a craft fair in Harmony on June 19th, and July 19th, starts with a J, July 19th, okay, in Harmony, and the reason why we're telling you about that is because there will be people from Living in Liberty there selling crafts, and so if you're a craft fair person, and you also want to support Living in Liberty, then feel free to go there. There's donations piling up there as well. So let's continue in our worship right now.